My name is David J. Harris, Jr. Join me and millions of Americans around the country as we embrace liberty and freedom. This is the David J. Harris, Jr. Show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode with your host, David J. Harris, Jr. Friends, I am so honored to be here with you all today from the absolute crazy nonsense that just continues to bombard us from this current administration, if you can even call it that. I definitely think it's safe to say they are a regime. I don't know who could see what these people are doing and call them anything else than they're just a communist push to completely take our country into socialism. It's just an absolute mess. Friends, we've got people that are standing up to this, that are taking action in their own states. We would not be in this situation today had there been checks and balances. And I mean checks and balances by people that have a moral compass and understand the obligation to make sure that we have honest and fair elections. We wouldn't be. I always try to look for the silver lining in things. Had 2020 not occurred the way that I believe that it did, which was the election was completely stolen, had it not occurred, we would not be privy to the amount of rampant corruption and fraud that's been taking place, in my opinion, in this country for decades. There's been two sides of the coin. There's been the blue side and the red side. And I think for far too long, they've been working. I think they see themselves as the elites and them that control everything versus us, the peasants, and they tell us what to do. And we're literally seeing that right now with what Joe Biden is doing in this current, everything that he's done and continues to do with this student loan forgiveness BS that it's so much nonsense. So we need people, friends, we need people to stand up. We need to make sure that these midterms, that we have honest and fair elections. And the only way that we're going to do that, the only way we're going to make sure that we preserve what is the heartbeat, the very fabric of freedom in this country, is to make sure that we nominate, that we vote for the individuals that care about this country's founding, that care about this country's liberties, and that care about our freedoms. That's the only way we're going to get it done. So I actually had the opportunity to be in Bedminster just last week. Been traveling all over the place. I get my days confused, but I know it was just a little over a week ago that I was in Bedminster at Donald Trump's country club. When I got to see and meet this young woman that is fighting for just that, to bring truth and bring a spotlight on the corruption and make sure that the elections in her state aren't rigged, aren't stolen, and that any amount of improprieties or voter fraud are investigated. Christina Caramo, she's somebody that is absolutely taking the bull by the horns, and she was there at Donald Trump's country club. It was a fundraiser for her, and I've got a little clip. We actually weren't supposed to be able to record. I got a little bit of what President Donald Trump had to say about Christina. Here it is.
Because she's really going places, and she's going to start by looking at your state. She went to Detroit, and she was so outraged, and she saw the cheating and the horrible things that went on with respect to the election, and she had it cold, and she went and she reported it, and they didn't do anything about it. They didn't do a damn thing about it, and she said, you know, I'm going to run for office, and I'm going to do things about it, because, you know, it's the biggest thing you have to watch, is because I think you're going to get votes far more than you need, but I think you have to watch that. The vote counter, you know, a very famous man, Lenin, he said the vote counter is far more important than the candidate.
Are you kidding me? To be endorsed. Christina is endorsed by the man himself, Donald J. Trump. He opened up his Bedminster Country Club, which I got to tell you is absolutely amazing. I love Mar-a-Lago, but Bedminster is just it's a different aspect. It's beautiful. It's green. It's amazing. But we were also there together that night. We got to celebrate Liz Cheney losing her seat. Donald Trump was just right upstairs. But without further ado, I wanted to bring Christina on to let you hear from this woman that saw corruption taking place, that saw what was taking place in Michigan and said, I cannot stay silent. Reminds me of a book I know, Why I Couldn't Stay Silent. She said, I cannot stay silent. I must take action. And she is doing just that, running for Secretary of State in Michigan with President Donald J. Trump's endorsement. My guest, Christina Caramo. Christina, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? So glad to have you with me today.
Thank you, David, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Was it a good thing or a bad thing, in your opinion, to get that endorsement from President Trump?
It was such an honor to have his support. President Trump is one of the greatest presidents in American history. And I'm not just saying that to blow smoke. I mean, look at it, folks. We had so significantly lower gas prices. Our economy was booming. I mean, he had American infrastructure on the docket. He was cleaning up the issue of illegal immigration, which is not about immigration itself, but the open border is a national security issue. When you have people just being able to cross over unchecked, unsupervised, we don't know who these people are. You don't let people you don't know come into your house. Why would you just let people you don't know come into your country? So that's an issue. Also, we're talking about oil independence. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Putting America first. America first does not mean America first, everybody last, you know, forget all the other countries. It's about sovereign nations working cooperatively for the betterment of all, but not at the expense of one's sovereignty and one's own security and benefit and one's own citizenry. So we are really grateful for all the work he's done for our country, and I'm very upset that he's not president. However, some silver lining in the fiasco of 2020 that not just me, but a lot of people rose up and decided to fight back. And kind of to what you mentioned, I cannot be silent. A lot of people, not just me, realized that we had fight back. David, I really like the point you made that our elections are the heartbeat of our freedom. I'm going to take that line, make sure I give you credit. But that is so true, because as Secretary of State, you oversee whether or not the people actually determine who's in power or not. It is your responsibility to make sure that our elections are free, they are fair. And, you know, one of the things that we have been communicating to people, this is a matter of our voting rights. Now, let me explain why I say that. The left loves to use the term voting rights, but they are really twisting it and perverting it in this way to cover up for election fraud. My voting rights consist of ballot access, ballot security, and ensuring that no illegal ballots are cast. Because every time an illegal ballot is cast, it nullifies the legal vote. That's why it's so important. So we must take back our elections, clean them up. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on about it, but this is just a matter of freedom. It's a freedom issue. That's what our elections are about. It's how we, the people, maintain control of our government.
Yes, 100%. Well, I figured that you wouldn't think it was a negative thing to have Donald Trump's endorsement. I think he's batting around 90 to 95% of the candidates that he's endorsed have won their primaries. And he's carrying those endorsements, obviously, you know, all the way up to the general. But so that is definitely a good thing. But here, I want to jump into something before we get into, you know, the what you saw literally with your own eyes taking place in Michigan when we were voting for 2020. Before we jump into why you decided to take action, I think people can't, you know, if they're listening to this podcast, you know, I want to make sure it's clear. You are a Black woman. And you are running as a Republican with Donald J. Trump's endorsement. The mainstream media calls him, you know, Hitler. They say he's racist. Joe Biden says if you don't vote for me, you're not Black. To me, that's actual racism coming out of the man's mouth. But let me ask you why are you a conservative, and why do you align with the Republican Party? I think there's a lot of the Black community and brown community that would love to hear, because we're constantly being told why we should vote Democrat, why Democrats, what we're being lied to, in my opinion, on why we should vote Democrat. But the Democrats always try to champion the fact that they're the party for people of color. Yet here you are championing as a Republican, as a conservative. Why are you a conservative?
Well, it really starts, David, fundamentally with my Christian worldview. You know, as a Christian, there are certain things I simply cannot support. And one of the things that's important for us as Christians is that we cannot be afraid of these secularists. So my opponent and the members of the media, they consistently mock me as being a Christian when I speak truth about what abortion truly is, when I speak truth regarding spiritual realities of this society. And the secularists are taking over the culture. The secularists are taking over the media. And so they want to demonize Christians. And Christian, I cannot ignore what God says in favor for what human beings say. I mean, that's just nonsense. And so that was the foundation for my conservative worldview. And it's just, I'm all about also about getting the government out of as many things as possible in society.
Before you move on, I just want to point out that is the crux of the issue for me as well. It sounds like that is for you, abortion. Democrats, anytime up to any point of birth and now even after birth, infanticide, Democrats are okay with it. Me as a believer, and I think as any morally on point individual, any person that has some moral aptitude that understands that a baby is a baby is a baby, whether it's inside the womb or outside the womb, how could you be okay with harming them, our most innocent children? So it sounds like, I mean, I asked you the question, why? You said it starts with the issue of abortion. I don't know. It baffles me that there's so many people that profess to be Christians or believers that avoid that topic and still vote for Democrats. And even more so, that Christian pastors, mega church pastors, invite Democrats to come speak on their stages, knowing full well that that person promotes and supports abortion. It's the crux of the issue for me. Speak on that for you.
Yes. Look at Raphael Warnock. I mean, the man's a total heretic.
Yes.
You know, the thing about it is there is nothing more fundamental than our human life. And the reality is that in many cases, not all, that you see abortion being used as birth control. And also people don't talk about the fact that a lot of women experience pain and guilt behind abortion. And the thing about it, these secularists, their belief is that if we just destigmatize everything, then that will relieve the women of pain and guilt and depression they feel. No, what they fail to understand, if you read in Romans, it's very clear that everybody knows there's something inside you that knows that there's a higher power. There's something instinctively that makes you know that things are right and wrong. So there's a reason why if I clip my toenails, I feel no guilt. If I get my tooth pulled, I feel no guilt. But if someone gets an abortion, they feel guilt because they instinctively know that that is a life, that is a human being. And just we're denying the obvious in order to make people feel good about taking a human's life. And even in Michigan, we have an initiative they're trying to put in our state's constitution to make abortion a constitutional right in Michigan, where they will be able to get abortion up until birth. You have minors who will be able to get abortion. And think about it, without parental consent. So a 13-year-old girl can go get an abortion and her mother not know about it. Do you know all the pedophiles who will be able to get away with their crimes just by taking their young victims and forcing them to get an abortion? It's just awful. Up until birth. And it makes no sense. If you're 6 months pregnant, if we're going to be a mother, I mean, just think about it for a moment. You just would need to induce the labor. You don't need to kill the child. Now, I don't support just inducing labor at that random time, but you get the point what I'm saying. There's no reason to murder this kid. You're 36 weeks. There's no reason to murder the baby. There just is not. And so we as a society have rejected God, where the unthinkable has become normal. I mean, even in this Reproductive Freedom for All Act, they want to allow where children can get a transgender treatment. Well, this is an absolute attack on the human family. Think about it. If you sterilize the children and kill the children, you have no human race. And so this is an absolute attack on the human family. I mean, that's what people need to understand. An adult can do whatever they like. If an adult male wants to go and castrate himself, I don't think it's a good idea. But according to our law, he has the freedom to do so. That's his choice. But you take children and want to sterilize children. I mean, think about it. You're a parent. I'm a parent. I mean, come on. Even when we were kids, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a mutant ninja turtle. So when you are a child, you want to be all kind of things. You don't think rationally. You think like a kid. And so now they're taking these poor children. They're sexualizing them and encouraging them. David, when I was a girl, I was a tomboy. I used to dress. I dressed probably like a boy until I was like maybe 17 years old. And if I would have grown up now, they would have tried to convince me that I was transgender when I was really just a tomboy. And then I would have been sterilized and all kind of stuff and never have been able to be blessed with being a mother. This is just crazy. And they want to put this in our constitution.
Let me ask you, can you tell me what a woman is?
Well, I don't know how to answer that anyway, pointedly, besides look at your underwear, I guess. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's just there is reason why biologically God made us to be opposites, the way they will be complementary in procreating the human race. And that's where the fundamental problem is in society. That's why, you know, when you asked me initially, why am I conservative? And I started with my Christian worldview. Yes. Because every issue the Bible addresses. I mean, the Bible even addresses if your neighbor's animal walks away, you have an obligation to go and get your neighbor's animal. I mean, even things like that, how to build your roof. I mean, all these little instructions, it's not like if you build your roof wrong, you're going to go to hell. But the reality is that God knew how human beings are to order our lives and order our communities because he made us. So it's just
for the best possible outcome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it said when I was a kid, you know, BIBLE stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, because we're all going to leave one day. And what is there in society that we can buy or purchase that doesn't come with an instruction manual? Everything comes with a manual. How to get the best results, how to troubleshoot, what to do if this takes place, how to get, you know, everything has a manual. Well, I we're no different. And I think more and more people that maybe don't believe or don't have that faith, or a lot of people that have walked away and don't really live it, they're realizing, you know, there's a spiritual battle at play here. And if I did actually just follow the outline that's set forth in the Bible on how I should treat others and how I should look at things, there's a lot of truth to that. So, I appreciate what you're saying. The issue of abortion, the topic of abortion is the crux of the issue for me. Science has now, you know, made it very clear. It's not a clump of cells. Kids are being lied to. People are being lied to think that babies can't feel, don't have emotions, don't have feelings. If it has a heartbeat and it's beating, you're ending that life. And even more so than that, at the moment of conception, that little baby is in development. If you decide that you can kill a baby and a person, a human, at one point of development, then what's to stop you from saying, well, we're going to move that needle to a different point of development, which Obama's health czar, back when he was in office, had written an op-ed or written something on why he believed it was okay to kill kids up to 2 or 3 years old, because they're not fully developed yet. They don't know any different. That's the slippery slope that people need to understand is taking place with this whole issue of abortion. Not only is it antichrist and it's inhumane, it's murderous, but it's going to keep on going. There's no end in sight for it.
It's wicked. It's the most wicked thing ever. It's far more wicked than slavery. And David, the reason why I say it's far more wicked than slavery, because you and I are evidence that the slaves, many slaves survive. Aborted children don't survive, because that's the whole premise, is to kill them. And so when we enter to a point in society that murdering other people is permissible to make my life better, then so that's a human sacrifice. And so my opponent, they're like, Christina called abortion human sacrifice. It is. You're murdering your child so you can have a better life. What's the difference? When you look at scripture, when you look at the Canaanites, or when you look at people who worship Baal or Moloch, why did they kill their kid? They didn't sacrifice their kid to Baal or Moloch because, you know, why? I think it's just to be a fun. No, they were hoping that Baal or Moloch would give them something and make their life better. Same concept. You go into a clinic, you kill your kid because you hope that it will make your life better. It's no different. Wow. And these people are just so reprobate in their thinking that they act like, oh, she says something so horrible. No, I spoke the truth and you guys don't want to look in the mirror. The fact of the matter is, there's a whole lot of women and men in positions of power that they were able to skirt around parenthood because they killed their kid. Their success is at the blood of their success. It's standing in the blood of their dead children. And people like you, people like me, make them face that reality. That's why they can't stand us.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And hey, if anybody's out there, they're watching or they're listening, and you have had an abortion, and you're feeling like, you know what, that's me. What did I do? If you're having an awakening and a realization that you made a mistake, no, you know what? I want to speak grace over you right now. And I just pray that you would continue to make that resolute in your heart that abortion is wrong, that you'd ask God for forgiveness, that you would forgive yourself. And I know this, God is good. His forgiveness is there. The payment's already been made for everything that we do that's wrong. Then we have the opportunity to live right and live for him. So if that's you and you're listening or you're watching and you're saying, this is me, what did I do? There's grace for you. And just, you know, ask for forgiveness and know that God is good. He'll give that to you. And then find some people that you can talk to outside of maybe your friends that will immediately want to judge you. Because that's the other thing that the left does. That's the other thing that really, you know, hopefully most Christians don't do it, but even some Christians do it. Some Christians need to get in their Bible. You know, if somebody comes to you and they're confessing something, it's not for you to slam them. It's not for you to judge them. It's for you to walk with them through that journey of forgiveness and healing and wholeness. So if you're listening or watching and you say, that's me, talk to somebody that you know loves you for you, and then pray with somebody. I just felt like I needed to share that.
Yeah, no, David, you're absolutely right. One of the things I love about the Bible is that all the individuals that God used, they had so much mess in their life. You look at David, you look at Paul, you look at all these people who were prostitutes and killers and adulterers. Yeah. They did all this stuff, but God saw fit to use them. And that's one of the things about the Christianity that is so beautiful, is that God used people who did just horrific things in their lives. And he used them mightily, and those people repented and they walked away. That's the difference. And what people need to understand, like you mentioned, God knows that we're sinners. This is why Christ died for us. But he expects us to repent and walk away. And we as believers, even when speaking truth, need to remember that, you know, God is a soft place for people to land, and we are to be ambassadors on his behalf. Not that he needs us. It's just that people need us to speak truth. That way they can come to him in the process. But you're absolutely right, is that we have to remember that God will forgive us for even the most gravest of sins, which in my estimation in our current society is abortion.
Yeah, it's murder. Yeah, it's murder. I mean, it's the first, well, it's not the first sin. The first sin was disobeying God and listening to the Lucifer, the snake, the enemy. But the first big one after that, I guess, is Cain and Abel. So, but it's murder. So I love that about you. I love your heart, but let's jump into, you know, what you want to do. And let's jump into what you saw, because you were actually, you had just finished, tell me your story. Tell my audience your story. You had just finished, what, a theology school or some kind of ministerial? You were going to get into ministry, or you were going to launch something that was spiritual, political, social. Tell us what you were doing, and then you saw what took place at the polls in Michigan.
Yeah, so I have a master's in Christian apologetics from Biola University. And, you know, it was really funny. A few years back, I just was in prayer. I was fasting and praying and just asked God, where am I going with my life? And God just really put it on my heart that he wanted me to go into the ministry. And then you know how things go when you're in God, that God reveals things to you as you go through life. And then I began to study Christian apologetics. And it's so important, because so many people have rejected Christ because they say, well, the Bible doesn't make sense, the gospel doesn't make sense. With Christian apologetics, we get into the evidence, why Jesus is the only way, why the Bible is correct, why is it the inerrant, infallible word of God. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, why is Darwinian evolution false? Like, one of the biggest frauds perpetrated on our society is Darwinization. It's absolute garbage. If you go through the facts, and I know people, you know, some of the left, they'll clutch their pearls and say, oh, she said Darwinian evolution is garbage. It's like, meet me on the playing field and let's discuss the facts to make sure you believe Darwinian evolution. And when you go through, it's totally ridiculous. But the problem is that when children are told, go to school, trust your teacher, do what your teacher says, and the teacher tells them, and guess what? You and a monkey. And guess what? Life started in a primordial soup that was seeded on planet Earth. You know, ridiculous things that Darwinian evolution teaches. Then naturally, it's no surprise if the kids go, well, you told me to trust my teacher. I'm trusting my teacher. And my teacher is teaching me things that contradict scripture. So why should I continue to believe this? And then the kid goes, what else is wrong in the Bible? And then that natural progression occurs, and then they eventually wind up walking away from Christ. So Christian apologetics is the answer to that, and we get into the evidence of scripture. So that was my focus. And I actually had a podcast called Solid Food. You can check it out on Spotify. And what's funny is that the left wants to use it against me. It's like, hey, I believe what I said. I said what I said. And the thing about it is that was my focus. If that was my lane, it was the Christian podcast that covered apologetics, culture, and politics. And then what happened was, is that I have always been a very active person politically, because, you know, people complain about things in society and it's like, okay, what are you doing about it? You know, and right. I'm sure, David, you encounter the people who say, I don't like politics. And I'll tell them, I say, listen, you know, see the sign at the end of your street that says no right turn, you know, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Mondays, that's politics. There isn't an aspect of your life that isn't impacted by politics. So you have to be involved. Your civic duty doesn't end at the ballot box. So just being an involved citizen. And I, you know, during 2020, I volunteered on the Trump campaign with one of the people that door knocked, road rallied, and all this other stuff, you know, just an everyday volunteer. And I was a poll challenger at the TCF Center in Detroit. Now, in 2018, when my opponent ran, we knew what she was. We knew she was a George Soros puppet. We knew that she was part of the Secretary of State project. We knew all those things about her. And so we said, hey, we're going to go and watch how she's running the elections. Now, even prior to November 3rd, she was mailing out absentee ballot applications unsolicited. I have received 6 of them. There, we know that some of the addresses and registrations that were receiving these absentee ballot applications were bogus. One of the ways we knew that, because with all the door knocking I did, we will oftentimes get to an address where it's supposed to be a registered voter. Grass is about, you know, 2 feet high. You know, nobody's there. Obviously, no one lives at the house, but yet there's a registered voter at this address. I mean, wow. I can go on.
And you said something really quick. You said something. I also want people to realize something that you said kind of fast was that there's a George Soros Secretary of State, some kind of a program. Is that what you said?
Right. So in 2010, so that means it's not just Michigan.
There's people all across the country that George Soros is trying to get in these positions of power that have the power over our elections in every state.
Oh, yeah, they're already there. So I'm actually on a slate of the conservative answer to it. So it's Michigan, Arizona, Colorado, Nevada. So I'm on the slate, the Secretary of State. It's a coalition of people like myself, Mark Fincher from Arizona, Jim Rashawn from Nevada, where we are Secretary of State candidates who are looking to restore the rule of law. And this is important for people to know. Yes, I am a Christian. I am a conservative. It is not Michigan's next Secretary of State to put my finger on the scale and help the people who think like me win. Absolutely not. That would be illegal and absolutely immoral. It is the responsibility of the people. I don't care if you're voting for a Marxist, which I think is just the absolute worst ideology to creep on our earth next to something else. But my point is that irrespective of how you believe or what you vote for or who you vote for, it is not the job of the Secretary of State to inject themselves and help one side against the other. It is the Secretary of State's job to ensure the elections are ran per the rule of law, irrespective of political affiliation or outcome. And that's not what's happening with the Secretary of State project that Soros put together. Because Soros, if we have to remember, this guy has a whole plot to overthrow our country. Yep. And it's really interesting that he's going after the Secretary of State. And it's not just Soros. We need to remember, Soros is a research manager. It's him and other people there as well. He is not the only person. So you have the Secretary of State he goes after, also Attorney General, County Sheriff, and County Prosecutor. Because if you can corrupt those four offices, you can totally overthrow a country without war. And that's what he's trying to do.
So you're in there, you're seeing this corruption, this fraud take place, and at some point you just decided something's got to happen. What was that moment for you to decide to run for Secretary of State of Michigan?
Well, to back up as to what I saw, one thing I saw poll challengers' rights being violated, which is punishable by either jail time or a fee. I mean, I saw absolute no chain of custody with ballots were moving around like bushels of apples. I saw a lot of things that were just either illegal or just functionally unsound and facilitate corruption. But the actual two law violations I saw was one, as I mentioned, poll challengers' rights being violated. But I also saw illegal ballots being cast. So with absentee voting in Michigan, they have these things they call absentee county boards, where it's essentially like a centralized location. And I don't want to get into detail, but the point is it's just the way they process absentee ballots in many large municipalities or some counties pool together to tabulate their ballots. So in Detroit, when a ballot is tabulated absentee and there's either a write-in candidate, an overvote, or the machine can't easily tell the voter, it goes into adjudication, where there's these two people of opposing political parties deciding how to tabulate your ballot. Well, one of the problems is that what I saw is that a ballot comes on the screen and voter had voted for Joe Biden and the Green Party candidate for president. And very quickly, the adjudicators gave the vote to Joe Biden. Now, that's illegal. What's supposed to happen is the rest of the ballot gets tabulated and that particular race is basically nullified because the voter has nullified their vote by voting more than they were supposed to in that race. After that, I began to, I intensified my attention because I already saw one illegal ballot cast. And so then a ballot comes on the screen, the voter voted, because we have straight party voting in Michigan. The voter voted straight party ticket Democrat, straight party ticket Republican. They made no other marks on the ballot. And then after that, the adjudicator said, oh, and then also this is another important point. When they voted straight Democrat and straight party ticket Republican, they filled in the ovals completely. So that showed that they intentionally done this. It wasn't like a dot or a dash where they did this by mistake. So after that, adjudicator says, I think I'm going to give it to the Democrats. And I'm like, no, you're not. I'm going to challenge that. So then I went and got her immediate supervisor. She comes over to the screen and I explained the scenario to her. Now, this is my apologetic skills kicking in. This was not me trying to explain why this was wrong. It was just me trying to make the case the obvious so these people couldn't cast an illegal ballot. So I explained the situation to her and she goes, I don't know. What do you think? And so I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I go get the guy who's overseeing the entire TCF Center. I explain a scenario to her, to him, excuse me. And he goes, I don't know. What do you think? I'm like, what do you mean? What do you think? You guys know what to do. This ballot is to be tossed out. Because the thing about it is this voter voted straight party ticket Democrat and straight party Republican. And it was obvious the fact they filled in both of us completely. Exactly. Common sense. Yeah. And so, and then I asked in a complete rhetorical, was not asking literally, but just in a rhetorical to get them to distinguish the difference. Because I was trying to get them to point out, how do you distinguish the difference fields, the ovals? And I just said, well, why not give it to the Republicans? Just ask them the question, like, what's the difference? And the guy began to yell at me. He said, push it through. And I'm objecting, like, no, you can't do this. It's illegal. And he's like, push it through. And they pushed the ballot through. And you know what's so pathetic about our local media? Our local media tried to discredit me by saying, well, she just didn't understand the process. What are you talking about? So now if a voter intentionally votes an overvote to basically cast out their party, clearly that voter was making a statement by doing that. And you're going to say, well, we're just going to pick and give it to the Democrats. That's Michigan procedure. So that means that our elections are totally bogus. And then basically took that to say, oh, I guess she just doesn't understand the process. Like, this is how bad the people in Michigan and America are being gaslit about the massive fraud in our election system. So then we come out the TCS. And I mean, I can go on and on and on. Y'all saw the pizza boxes going up and the doors being chained in with the fire hazard. I mean, I was afraid for my life at one point, because imagine we didn't have on us. They're putting up pizza boxes. I hear screaming and yelling. And then I see the doors being chained shut and inside. And I, what am I supposed to think? This is the absolute chaos of the 2020 election. And our media goes, nothing. It's so Orwellian. Our media goes,
nothing inside, to see. Were you nothing inside see, when they're chaining the doors? Or you were, they pushed you outside?
Yes, I was inside. I was in the inside. I was inside of the counting room for 37 hours. It was, well, let me back up. I was at the TCF Center for 37 hours. I took like a 2-hour nap and went upstairs in our room about 6 a.m. and I came back downstairs. So I was in the building for a total of 37 hours, and I only stepped out to take a 2-hour nap about 6 a.m. and then came back down about 8 a.m. So I was in that building for 37 hours. And when that broke out with the people beating on the door and all the workers in there hollering and yelling, they were chaining the door shut. I was terrified. I'm like, what is going on in here? And the media doesn't report any of that. They don't report any of that. And of course they go, and then here's the kicker part, David. When we went to go testify before our Senate Oversight Committee, and they're just looking at us like, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story. It's like, I'm not some little kid looking for you to pacify me. I'm an adult. I saw a crime and I want you to do something about it.
Yeah.
About it. So they did nothing. Wow. And I said, I'm running for Secretary of State. That's how that happened.
Well, I it's crazy. That's insane to me. I didn't realize that you were on the inside. Did you see anything else? That was Pennsylvania when they pulled the suitcases out. Did they pull any suitcases out in Michigan too?
Well, you know, Georgia, they pulled out suitcases. Remember when they cleared the room out and the lady told everybody like it was some kind of water leak and everybody left and she pulled a suitcase out? No, yeah, but Georgia, you know, David, correct, David, I can send you some videos. Is that I have a friend of mine who is a journalist, and she has surveillance footage, two videos, where one woman is sitting in her car. She goes to the ballot drop box to drop off ballots. She realized they're not signed. She goes back in her vehicle, and then you can see her pull a pen out of her purse, and she's signing. And then as she signs, she keeps jumping, putting ballots, signing ballot after ballot. But you can't see her sign the ballots, but you can see her pen moving like this, and then she puts a ballot. You see the pen,
and
she
puts
the ballot. And then the second video my friend has, it's even worse. You actually can see inside the car, watching her actually physically, you can see her actually signing the ballots. So you have two videos of people signing the ballots and voter fraud. And guess who's supposed to investigate this? The Secretary of State. And then our media turns around and covers it up. And we all got so-called Republicans telling us, oh, just kind of move on. You know, nothing happened. There was no widespread fraud. I'm like, it's on camera. We have it on camera. Like, what are you talking about? And then what's so crazy is when people hit me with the stupid line, I'm going to call it stupid. They say, oh, well, you know, the widespread fraud. How much of a crime is okay? Is a little bit of a crime unacceptable?
Right.
Are we a nation of laws, or are we a free for all? I mean, come on, it's common sense.
Well, Christina, I'm glad that you saw what you saw and you heard God say it's time to take action. We need somebody like you, because we absolutely need to make sure that everywhere George Soros and his group, his whatever you want to call them, pals. I'm trying to watch my tongue here when I think about that man and what he's trying to do to our country. Everybody that's on his side that is trying for the ultimate demise of this country to take it down from within, we need to make sure that that is, that it's exposed and those individuals get unseated or they just don't get that seat. We need individuals like you. I know you're strong on election integrity. You want to investigate the voter fraud. I know securing the vote's a big deal. And let me ask you this. Again, as a Black woman, is voter ID racist?
Even when people ask that, it is racist. So I was asked that question on an interview here in Michigan, and they said, oh, according to the ACLU, voter ID is racist. And I'm like, you know, the ACLU is racist. They assume that Black people are too stupid. We're feeble-minded Negroes who can't make basic decisions and function as adults in society. I don't know anybody who doesn't have an ID. As a matter of fact, I have friends and family members who are Democrats. They themselves find the notion that we don't have ID to be completely ridiculous. But it's these liberals who are white who go around and claim that they are the savior of the Negro race, who make these racist comments claiming that, oh, voter ID is racist. Oh, Black people have a hard time getting ID. I mean, who has a hard time getting ID? I have a hard time reading and presenting legal documents proving my identity. And then on top of it, this is something else I want to point out. In the state of Michigan, the Secretary of State oversees our functional equivalent of a DMV. We call it Secretary of State branch offices. Guess whose job it is to make sure people have an ID? Secretary of State. So if in Michigan you have this widespread issue of people not having ID, that means the current office holder is failing. Current office holder is failing at her job and needs to be removed from office. Period.
Wow. Christina Caramo, so glad to have you with me today. I'm going to be sharing this, friends. We need people like you, Christina. So thankful that you chose to get out of the, you know, behind the scenes, so to speak, and thrust yourself out there for Michigan and for our country. You've got Donald J. Trump's endorsement. You've got mine as well, Christina.
Thank you, David.
If anybody watching or listening wants to find out more about Christina or give, I know you need money. It's all about support.
Sure,
it's all about sharing. It's all about showing up, and that takes money. Go to Christina. That's with a K, K-R-I-S-T, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, Caramo, K-A-R-A-M-O.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's right. So, thank you, David, for having me.
Absolutely, Christina. God bless you. We'll be praying for you, and I'm sure we'll catch up again before the midterms. All right.
Yes, we will.
All right. God bless, sis. Friends, are you kidding me? That is exactly the kind of individual with the character, with the moral understanding, and the moral compass of what's at stake for our country that we need representing us at that high level of Secretary of State or Senate or the House. Whatever it is, we need individuals like that in our school board meetings, parent teachers. We need to get them in school board meetings. We need people like that that are standing up and not just sitting back idly to take action. So Christina is somebody that we all should be watching for and be praying for. So pray for her. Get over to her website, ChristinaCaramo.com, and check out what she's got. Friends, thank you so much for being with me today. Be the elephant in the room. We are making the Republican Party, true elephant party again. It's got a new face, and we are the face of it. So be the elephant in the room. Get that over at davidharrisjr.store. Got a lot of new shirts over there, new designs to help you represent and promote the message. But God bless you all. Thank you so much for joining today. We will talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye.
My name is David J. Harris, Jr. Join me and millions of Americans around the country as we embrace liberty and freedom. This is the David J. Harris Jr. Show.